is from the book of Genesis in chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. So we have come through the flood, and this is the story of God's covenant after the flood. So let us listen for God's word. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I will establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." The gospel reading is in Mark's gospel, chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, two details jumped out at me when I was looking at these readings some months ago. And the first detail, of course, is in the Noah's Ark story. As the flood is over, Noah and his family, all of the animals on the ark are beginning to repopulate the planet. And God makes a covenant, an agreement, a binding agreement with Noah and all future generations, you and me, but also with every living creature, all flesh, the whole creation. And I find that really a stunning point that is made in this passage. God's concern is not only with you and me, it is with every living creature. God enters into a covenant, some kind of a binding agreement. We would call it a legal agreement. Isn't that interesting that animals are somehow included in this binding agreement with God? So, you know, the point of this, I think, is that we are not the be-all and end-all of God's heart, of God's concern. The creatures are equally a part of God's heart and God's promises. So I want to talk about that some this morning, God's love of creation, God's love of creatures. I know how much many of you love and find connection with God through the creatures of the earth, domestic and wild. So God loves us. God loves us more than we ever allow ourselves to imagine. And God loves every creature, seen and unseen. I know there are bird lovers amongst us. God loves the birds. Some of us get annoyed that the squirrels take, you know, the bird seed. God loves the squirrels. God loves the mice. God loves the deer. God even loves the insects and the incredible variety of them. God loves the worms and all of those crazy things that we find when we put our hands in the soil. God loves the porcupines. God loves the raccoons. God loves them all. So I don't know if you know this, but in Mark's gospel, the risen Jesus tells his disciples to go into the world and to proclaim the good news to the whole creation. Not to people, but to the whole creation. Did you know that that was a part of, in Mark's gospel, the resurrection command from Jesus? I certainly did not until some years ago. And as Casey Stengel used to say, you can look it up. Mark 16, verse 15, if you have your Bibles with you, you can do it right now. I won't penalize you if I see you doing that. The church, historically, with a few exceptions, most prominently St. Francis, has not really done a good job of being inclusive about God's concern. We've confined the concern of the church primarily to human beings, and it's good that we're concerned about human beings. But the Bible is so much more expansive. God's covenant is with all flesh, all creatures, not just human flesh. And not only that, the good news is to be proclaimed to the whole creation. So, you know, those of us who live in a scientific age are scratching our heads right now and saying, well, how in God's name do you preach to the whole creation? And here again is where St. Francis comes to the rescue. St. Francis said that we as followers of Jesus are to preach the good news at all times. We're supposed to be preaching 24/7, 365 days a year. And then he says, if necessary, use words. If necessary, use words. So all of a sudden, you know, we're invited out of the prison of our rationalistic consciousness into something so much larger. We are to be preaching the gospel with our lives, with our lives. And we use words only when they're necessary. So what good news have we been preaching to the creations, sisters and brothers? Have we been preaching good news? The animals, of course, are totally unimpressed with any words that we use. You know, words can reveal truths about us, but words are just as likely to be used to conceal the truth from ourselves and each other. How often we use words to conceal and not reveal. But the animals read us very well, as any of you who have pets know. We are speaking to them with our lives. We are speaking to them with our hearts. They can read our energy like a book. They hear our actions. And if we are paying attention, the feedback they are giving to us is concerning. They're trying to tell us to pay attention to what we're ignoring. So that's detail number one. That God makes a covenant, not just with you and me, but with every living creature. And that the risen Jesus wants us to proclaim the good news to the whole creation, the whole creation. And the second detail is how God's Spirit, and this is one of Mark's favorite words, immediately after Jesus is baptized. And, you know, I often say that spiritual experience does not translate well. And it's clear to me that this baptism of Jesus was a profound spiritual experience for him. The heavens opened. He heard a voice and a dove descending upon him also communicated to him the incoming of the Spirit of God. And so immediately the Spirit that Jesus was profoundly opened to drove him into the wilderness for 40 days. And it's what we, now that we have started the journey of Lent, began on Ash Wednesday, this Wednesday, it's what we're trying to imitate in some kind of way. And I hope and I pray that we'll find some time of at least figuratively going into the wilderness, as Jesus did for 40 days. We get Sundays off in Lent, by the way. So Sundays we can break our fast. We can we can, you know, party, whatever we need to do to recover. But the idea is to be serious in our deep desire. It was Jesus's deep desire to connect with his source, to connect with God, to listen, to do that deep inner dive, which is necessary for the work that lay ahead of him, the incredible work that lay ahead of him. And Mark is so sparse in what he tells us about this 40 days. He tells us three things in one sentence. He says that Jesus was tempted by Satan. He says he was with the wild beasts and that the angels waited on him. And the detail that jumped out at me is why Mark mentions that Jesus was with the wild beasts. And, you know, when I think about this 40-day period, it reminds me of the indigenous people's spirit quest. And this was something of Jesus's spirit quest. He was going into the wilderness to cleanse himself, to open himself in profound ways to the divine. And Mark says he was with the wild beasts. And I wonder, were the wild beasts somehow necessary? Were they a necessary part of Jesus's spiritual education? And it made me think, are the wild beasts particularly a necessary part of our own spiritual journey, our own deepening and opening of our hearts, our beings, not just our heads, but our whole selves to God? And as I started along that line, of course, I could just start all of these experiences came back into my memory. And I'm going to share a few of them with you this morning. You've probably heard me talk or write about these before, but I want to do this as a way of you getting your own wheels turning. Because sometimes we go through life and we don't really give it the attention it deserves. So I know you've all had encounters with animals, and pets are included, but I'm really focusing on the wild ones and what they do to us, what reactions come to us in those encounters, and the quality of them. It's not just, you know, the words that we bring to bear about these experiences, but what they touch in us, what dimensions of self they awaken in us. So basically, I have three stories to share. Maybe I'll sneak in some others on the side too. So this happened several years ago, and I've shared it before. I was leaving the church, going out through the foyer here after teaching confirmation. It's probably about this time of year. And it was dusk. It was gray, but it wasn't pitch black. You know, you could still see, you know, the shadows. Everything was in that gray shadow of dusk. And I'm walking out the door, and you know where that rhododendron bush is, right at the corner of the education wing. And I'm walking past it, and there's this rustle of noise, and I see feathers popping everywhere, and it just stunned me, you know, because it was with such force. And it flew into the dogwood tree, which is right there between the education building and the sanctuary. And I thought to myself, that is the biggest robin I've ever seen in my life. And I looked in the dogwood tree, and all of a sudden I saw this head pivot towards me as the body remained still. And it was so clear. This was an owl. And I don't know about you, but I had never had an encounter with an owl. I'm, you know, 5 to 10 feet away, staring it in the face, and how my body just came alive. We looked at each other. I have no idea what the owl was thinking, but I was just stunned and so profoundly moved. And I can't remember if it flew away. I think it did. And so then I, you know, reason to stand there left, and I walked home, and I had to just read everything about owls that I could read. And, you know, of course the owls are alive at night. Their eyesight is extraordinary. They are the greatest hunters around. And they, you know, speak to us of those dimensions which are mysterious and hidden to most of us. And maybe, and it certainly felt this way to me, an invitation to move as deeply as I possibly could into that dimension of spirit, which is dark and beyond reason and hidden and unknown, but real, oh, so powerfully real. When we are upstate in our home in the summer, we have woods on our property. And what I long for every night are the sound of owls hooting and screeching in the woods. And even if we're at our fire pit, I try to hoot to see if I can get them to come. But they know that it's just some dumb guy from the suburbs hooting. But when I hear them, it's like a call to worship and a service I don't want to miss. And you know what I mean? It's just, there's this extraordinary otherness in holiness, in hiddenness, calling to something deep inside of us. You know, this summer, of course, I had an encounter with a bat inside of our home up there. And that might have been a holy encounter, except for the fact that I was freaked out. And when you're freaked out, it's really hard to experience holiness. But one of my favorite parts of every summer is sitting out on the back deck of the manse and waiting for the sun to set and watching the bats come out in the oak grove. Have you experienced that too? What is it? It brings me to a place of awe and wonder at such creatures and what they awaken in us. Another story, and you've heard me, I'm sure, share this before, and it was a few summers ago when it was really hot. It was 100 degrees that day, and I came home from the office, and Roseanne said, let's eat out on the porch. And I'm like, oh, my Lord, this is what I have to put up with my crazy spouse. But, you know, it's hard to say no to her. So we ate dinner out on the porch. And as we're eating this beautiful, huge red-tail hawk flies into an oak tree no more than 15, 20 feet away from us in plain view and just looks at us and we look at it. And then after a few minutes, it flies onto the roof on above us on the porch. I mean, we're looking at its tail hanging over the gutter directly over us. So I go to the steps so I can take a look at it. And it's, again, it's just looking at me as I'm looking at it. Then it flies to another oak tree and it's watching us again. And I'm thinking, I think we're eating fish. I can't remember, but I'm thinking maybe it wants our dinner. And then it flies on the ground, you know, again, about 15 feet away from us. And it's jumping and prancing and just displaying its incredible beauty. And then it flies over to the education wing. And again, it's in plain sight looking at us as we're looking at it. Flies back to the ground and does the same thing. And then to another oak tree until finally it flies away. And all of this was about 30 minutes. And it just felt like such a gift. And so, of course, Roseanne has a book on animal speak, and I go in and I read everything about the hawk and how in so many cultures it's a messenger from the gods. And its message is to keep going deeper on the spiritual path. Amid all of our forgetfulness, amid all of our distractions, to prioritize this above everything else. It's just affirming me, right? Affirming Roseanne, saying, yeah, sure, sometimes the spiritual journey feels silly and foolish and who are we kidding? And it's so, you can't hang on to it, but there are those signs that often come to us in the form of animals. And I'm convinced they're gifts from God saying, keep going, keep doing the work, keep opening yourself. And yeah, they're your doubts. Just don't hold on to your doubts too tightly. And then the final story I'll share is, again, many summers ago, another really hot day, over 100 degrees. And so I went into the garden in the late afternoon to water, particularly the kale and the collard greens looked like they were about to shrivel up and die. And so I had the hose and I'm putting a stream on the plants. And after a few minutes, a hummingbird flies underneath the stream of the hose. And then it lights on one of the collard green leaves. And it's sort of skimming. It's like it's skating over the leaf of this collard. And I don't know if such a thing is possible, but I swear to you, it looked like it was smiling at me. Maybe in thanksgiving for the water, maybe just mirroring the smile that plastered my own face for the privilege of being able to be in communion with this incredible creature. And don't you all do the same thing in the summertime when you see a hummingbird? You just stop what you're doing and you just watch in amazement. And the hummingbird, of course, you know, it sucks the nectar, the sweetness out of life. It reminds us to do that. And it can fly in all directions. So it's It's outside of time. It can move forward in time, backward in time, up and down, inviting us out of the prison of our limited dimensions and experience of life. We are spiritual creatures having a human experience, and our experience will always be stunted if we don't open to the dimensions of the spirit. One more story that comes up, and I hadn't planned to talk about this, but it was my first year here, and it was first year after my sister had died. It was her birthday. And so I went for a walk in Hartshorne Woods. First time there ever. And last time I saw my sister was that previous June. We were walking down a little bit of the Grand Canyon. As we were walking down the path, three rams walked in front of us, just so beautiful you could touch them. So I'm walking in the woods by myself. I'm looking at trees. I hadn't seen them in 6 years, and I was just amazed. And all of a sudden, I hear something. And four deer walk right out in front of me, so close, I could almost touch them. So God is in nature, right? God is in us because we are nature. We're not somehow separated from it. We are it. We are creatures of the earth, sharing this earth with other creatures that God loves. And when we, in our, I don't know how we got here, lots of good and maybe not so good reasons, where we create these lives that are shut off from nature. When we're cut off from nature, I think we're also cut off from God. And when we ignore or dishonor nature, we also ignore and dishonor God. And the same is true that when we love nature, when we open ourselves to it, we also love and open ourselves to God. So this Lent, you may be stuck in your house, and I get that. Whatever way you can, make nature a daily part of your spiritual practice. Look out the window. Watch a sunrise. Watch a sunset. Look at the birds. Watch the squirrels. Be open to connecting and loving and receiving and being with the mystery which is this planet. And then be open to the quiet too. Jesus was alone for 40 days. Turn the TV off, at least for a moment, for a period each day. And just allow the inner journey to unfold. And if you're like Jesus, Satan will be there. There'll be some darkness that you don't want to look at, that you need to. There may be some temptations that arise, things about yourself that you don't want to look at that are still there and are asking to be seen and asking to be held in some way. Angels will be waiting on us in ways. Just let go of your mental prejudices and accept the reality that there are spiritual beings attending us, particularly when we're striving, particularly when we're opening, particularly when we're longing to do our work. And then don't be surprised if some wild beasts show up with profound energy and profound messages from God. Maybe so. Amen.